thing going for us is we are preaching the living word of God. The living word means that it's very flexible. So as 40-minute sermons can be squeezed sometimes to 15 minutes. But it needs your cooperation. Of course, it needs the work of the Holy Spirit. So my sermons becomes an outline. But I think it's the same. God's word can speak to you. Just pay attention and ask the Holy Spirit to open your hearts to God's word. Are you an optimist or a pessimist of where our society is going? It seems nowadays that if you are a pessimist, don't blame you, because you look at our education system, the Lord's Prayer taken away, Ten Commandments taken away, teachers teaching evolution as science, as facts. If you look at our legal system, abortion, same-sex marriage are legalized, and pretty soon it will be marijuana, euthanasia. And if you look at the mass media, Christian issues do not get too much coverage. Politics, little influence. So if you are pessimist Christians, I don't blame you. But today, God is encouraging us to be optimist Christian. Why? Because of the scripture we just read. Jesus used the analogy, the imagery that you are salt of the earth and the light of the world. You see, in olden times, there's no refrigerators. Salt is used mainly as the main ingredients to prevent decay. And today, we don't have, electric light bulb. In the olden times, don't have electric light bulb. When evening comes, it will be darkness. So light, Jesus said, you are the salt, you are the light. So no use to complain about the world, that this world is a rotten world. The question to ask is, where is the salt? No use to curse the darkness. Jesus said, you are the light of the world. So today we are going to be reminded that, in Jesus' time, Jesus lived in a world of Roman pagan empire, powerful. But Jesus says, you are the salt of the world. You are to come, you are have a mission to slow down the decay of the of this world, and you are to going to give light, give direction. There's nobody historically that is on this planet Earth have more influence on this world than our Lord Jesus. I think all historians agree. Jesus influenced this world. So today, I'd want to remind you that we are not powerless. What kind of power do we have? First, we have the power of prayer. We have the power of prayer. 1 Timothy 2 says, Paul said, I urge you then, first of all, that requests, prayers, intercessions, and thanksgiving be made for everyone, for kings and for all those in authorities, that we may live peaceful and quiet lives in all godliness and holiness. In these days, violence is at the top of the news. Violence. Do you think we have too much violence in society today? If you agree, then the next question would be, have you prayed about it? Have you prayed for peace? Just like Paul asks us, pray that we may live peaceful and quiet life in all godliness and holiness. Have you prayed seriously for our lawmakers, mayors, police officers. See, problem with most Christians is, first, number one, we don't pray. Prayer meetings in the church is the lowest in attendance. We have a prayer box outside, and every week I open the prayer box. It's empty. I can say that for the past 12 months, there probably I received less than 5 prayer requests. We don't pray. We are not serious about praying. And when we pray, we mostly pray just for ourselves, for our needs. So may we all repent for not using this power of prayer. Second, we have the power of truth. It's not just the power of the gospel to bring salvation to people, but it's truth, God's truth and power. Do you believe that truth is more powerful than lies? Of course you do. Do you believe that God is stronger than the devil? Of course you do. So if we are on God's side, if we are on the truth side, then we have power. These days are the American presidential elections. When you hear the debate, hear what the tone, you say, everybody try, and the candidates want to say that he or she is on the truth side, and the other party accuse the other person is lying. Why? Because there is power in truth. When I grew up and I was in high school, at one time I want to be a journalist. Never heard me to become a journalist. But because I heard that journalists are called the crownless king, a king with no crown. Because journalists discovered, revealed truth, and that's why dictatorship regime hates them, wants to limit journalists. But journalists bring out truth. And at one time I said, maybe when I grow up I want to be a journalist. But then I realized that journalists have to write a lot, and I'm not good at writing. So kind of shut that out. And easier to become an engineer. We have God's truth, and that is power. Church, God is on our side. Truth, as long as we proclaim truth, we have power. And evil one, darkness, can overcome it. Third, we have the power of example. Truth is powerful when it's argued, it is more powerful when it is lived out. People may not understand the argument, but people have eyes and see your examples. Every time I do marriage counseling, I always reminded, we are so blessed with God's word. God has so many teachings about teaching us to have good marriage. Husband, how to live your wife. Wife, how do you devote to your husband. And how you use the God's words to bring up children. I thought, we are so blessed with God's word of building, giving us the foundation of good marriage. And this is so best argument against same-sex marriage. You see, today, same-sex marriage is legal. There's nothing we can do about it. But we are going to show, if every Christian family, every family live out, husband and wife devoted to one another, and we raise up godly children, and it would be the most powerful argument against same-sex marriage. Jesus said, you do good so that they may see your good deeds and praise your Father in heaven. As salt and light, we are going to live out and do good, And then people will see. And this is the power of example. And finally, we have the power of community. Don't underestimate the power of a church as a community. Because especially in today's world, we are so used to digital media, we have all these mass media and social medias, you know. How many friends you have on Facebook? Maybe 300, but are they really friends? You know, we have a lot of virtual realities, but the church is a place that we have solid fellowship. We have this really community. Jesus said, "By this all men will know that you are my disciples if you love one another." Church is a place that people, when we love one another, it draws people together. Draws people who, in our church, we have some small groups by sisters. You know, many of the attendees of those sisters, they don't even come on Sunday, but they have been coming regularly to the sister fellowship. Same for Mandarin. They have life group, they call. Many people, they are drawn because they want the fellowship, they want the community. And we pray that one day these people will also come join to the bigger Sunday, church life in the Sunday worship. But our community draw people. Don't underestimate the church family. So in all, hope that it, especially in this mission month, as we wants to, it reminds us to share the good news among people, whether it take hold of every opportunity. I'm really encouraged by Brother Richard. He used the opportunity to even witness to the air pilots and stewardesses. So I think we can all do, in our version, we can all share with our neighbors, with our co-workers, and knowing that we have this power and God will use us. Okay? Let us pray. Dear Lord, we thank you that you entrusted us for your great commission. And you said that we are the salt and the light of this world. So help us to use it. You said all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to you. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations. We thank you that you sent us out, but you know that you are behind us. Help us to know that, remember that you are behind us and we are not afraid. In Jesus' name we pray.